Robert?
I am in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. I tell you what, I brought a message at Easter, my first Easter message, and I've been just celebrating my 52nd born again birthday. 52 years is the first time I've ever brought a message at Easter. And so it was called Resurrection. And so this week I really forgotten that it was so early in the month. It seemed like this can't be the third Sunday. I never thought about it, but the Lord was speaking to me different scriptures, and just emphasizing some things to me. And I was going, Lord, is this something you want me to speak on sometime? And I was going, and then I realized, you know what? I got a hold of Ernestine yesterday, by the way, and yeah, confirmed it. I was speaking tonight. Well, the funny thing was, I said, I was just meditating on what I'm supposed to speak. I said, well, maybe I better go back and look and see what I spoke last month on Easter. Turns out, I had 4 pages of typewritten notes, and I got through about half of it. And the scriptures the Lord had been speaking to me this week, or in the past week, were those scriptures that were left in those notes already there. So, okay, Lord, I'm going to continue this. So this is like Resurrection Part 2. You can call it that, label it that, Ernestine, if you want to. But I want to pray real quick. Papa, just quiet my heart right now. Just quiet my soul. Say to my soul, be still. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths that are in your word, the truths that set us free. Lord, and I thank you. I just pray you give us ears to hear. And I especially need ears to hear. I think I'm the one that needs the most, Lord. I believe this word is for me. And so I'm preaching to myself, Lord. And I'm asking you, I want to be able to receive as much as possible. I want to be the good dirt, talks about in Mark chapter 4, the good soil. The good soil, Lord, that receives the word, Lord, and allows the seed of the word to take root. Take root and bear forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold, but I'm going to take the 100. I thank you for it. I thank you for your grace, Lord, for tonight. I'm blessed, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and we just receive from you. Thank you, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to go back over a scripture. I covered a lot of things. I would recommend any of you that didn't hear that message to go back wherever Ernestine has it and listen to it, because I'm going to pick up right there. But just as a quick catch up, nothing happens without the resurrection. Nothing. I gave you that scripture out of Corinthians. It says, it wasn't the birth of Jesus that saved you. It wasn't even the cross. It was the resurrection. It says in Corinthians that Paul said, if Christ be not resurrected, you are still in your sin. So everything was released at resurrection. And we became a part of this new species of mankind, that Jesus was the firstborn among many. The word says he's firstborn among many brethren, and we're those many brethren, if you're born again. And we're different. We're not the same. We're not the same as people that don't know him. And so we're never going to be. We can't fit in with whatever they're into, we can't fit into. It's not comfortable. It'll vex your soul. But I want to go back and just read one part that I'd gone over. Because really, the resurrection released everything for us. The life of Christ flowing through us, the ability for us to not only see the kingdom, but enter into the kingdom. You know, Jesus talks about that in John chapter 3. And, you know, he said in John chapter 7, says, and this be in you a well of water welling up in you, becoming a river, flowing out of your inmost being, a river flowing out of you. Now, I don't think that many in the body of Christ understand that at all. Pretty much, I think everybody thinks of it as being like a pond, because it's not flowing, because they don't know who they are, and just don't know. So when I say things that sometimes can offend people, but I'm trying to get people ready for what's about to take place. I'm trying to get myself ready, to be honest with you, because I have not arrived. But if let's go to Ephesians 2. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. I'm just going to go back over this again real quick. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. We know who that is. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to go over a couple of things right here. But, you know, being seated together with him in the heavenly places is something that, I mean, it's like, okay, you can rest now, have a seat. No, this is a seat of authority. This is a seat where whoever's reigning in the kingdom sits. And he's called us to reign with him. You know, I've spoken before how the Lord began to speak to me in 1973. He kept saying to me, and he still keeps saying it to me, and he's had me say this to many pastors and leaders. He says, I've called you to walk in dominion. And I've been trying to learn that, and I've experienced some of it. You know, I've given testimonies of things, but, you know, I'm not there yet, and I'm still learning. I'm still working on Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And so, But this seat of authority is, I tell you, I was thinking today about when I was living in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I used to work with a gentleman that owned this big, big company who developed shopping centers. They developed and built Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh and different ones around the state. And he wanted to develop land, residential neighborhoods, and that was my ball of wax. I was a builder, and at the time I was just a subcontractor. I had a carpenter crew, but at any rate, I went to his office. He asked me to come by and see it. And he had this massive building, big building, and I went there, and all these offices. I was going from place to place down this hallway, this big beautiful office. And I got to his office, and it was different. You know, it looked more like a house and a home than an office. And his desk was bigger than everybody's. And his chair, nobody had a chair like him. And he sat in the chair. And everything he said, there were people standing around to carry out everything he said. I mean, he reigned in that corporation, that kingdom. And I observed all that, you know, and I was thinking today, I said, this is a seat that we're seated together with Christ. Okay, we're seated together with him, not going to be, already are. And it says, you know, we're seated together with him in his place of authority, not going to do what he's not going to do, what he's already done. He seated us together with him. So, you know, looking back over verse 5 and 6, it says, He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you read in Ephesians, you just would be surprised to count how many times it says in Him or in Christ, so many times. But see, it's also He is in us. And so many scriptures talks about how Christ in you is the hope of glory. And, the Holy Spirit is with you, but He shall be in you, Jesus said. So I don't have all this stuff just coming up. I don't have notes on all this. But you see, I talked about when I spoke before, I don't know if I said it just this way, but when Jesus was raised from the dead, He was raised, His whole body was raised from the dead. Now, the scripture talks about us being His body, and He is the head. Well, when He was raised from the dead, they didn't go in there and find a body without a head. I mean, the head and the body were raised. So we were raised. It was a picture of us being raised too. We were raised up together with Him. And so, it says it in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ." See, we are His body. I remember a pastor I know out in Colorado when he first began to realize he was called to minister. He and his wife, he had married a lady, had a couple of kids, two, three kids, I think. And she'd been married before. And long story short is that I think he was Episcopalian, and I think she was like Lutheran or something, I forgot. They didn't have any understanding of the word, none. We're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, obviously. But they had a child, one of the little kids was sick, terribly sick, with asthma, and they were driving across the country and had a long ways to go. And they couldn't get to the medication in time for this child. And so I think the wife said, "Well, why don't we just pray for her?" So they prayed for her, and she was healed immediately. So they got their attention. They began to seek the Lord. And they began to see that it was that the Lord had given them authority. And one time I was listening to this man speak, and he was talking about one day he had a vision, and in the vision he saw the tomb of Lazarus. And out in front of the tomb was, it looked like, he said it looked like it was Jesus standing there, but he was facing the tomb, so his back was towards him. And the Lord said, to him, He said, "Who do you see there?" And he says, "Well, I see you, Lord, I see you." He said, "No, you see the body of Christ." See, and that's a picture of, He does everything He does through the body of Christ. He doesn't desire to do something outside of the body of Christ. Now, I've seen Him do stuff outside, just a move of His Spirit. I was born again during one of those movements. And things, but then as soon as we were born, as few of us were born again, it was just a move of the Spirit. Then He began to operate through us, and we would read something in the Word, and then we would just do what the Word, we didn't know anything, but we would just do it. I was been studying, and I said, Jesus gave disciples, they didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. Jesus had the authority before He was ever crucified and before He was ever buried and risen. Once He was risen, then He gave it. See, once He's risen, He took the keys of hell and of death. He stripped the enemy of all of His power. And what He did is He regained it back to Himself and to His body. What was taken when He called, the Lord called for man to reign and rule in the earth, Genesis 1:26. It's also a couple of other places, in Psalms it mentions it several times. I think Psalms 1:15, there's a scripture that says, "The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He's given to the sons of men." And so, you know, it says that we are to have dominion over all the fish of the sea and, you know, blah, 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 and the birds of the air and the animals on the earth. I mean, over the earth. And so, and then, of course, in the fall, man forfeited all of that authority and all those rights over to the enemy. Jesus went and took it all back. Okay. And so put us back in charge. That's why I always think it's kind of odd that, you know, when somebody says, well, why did the Lord allow this to happen? Why did he do that? Well, why did he allow these tornadoes to come through here and kill all these people? Well, who did he leave in charge? I mean, who did he give his name to? He didn't allow anything. Anything goes on, we allow it. And that's what I, you know, when I talk to my, you know, of 52 years, you know, a lot of people around the country that are walking with the Lord, and many of them are ministers, and they'll say, well, you know, they're saying we might have a wildfire, you know, here, and it's so dry, and there's big danger of a wildfire. I said, what are you going to do? What do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to leave. No, no. You need to get out there and charge the wildfire and tell it to stop. Because he's given you authority in the earth. And one of the things that I found out when I was speaking last month is that the whole message of resurrection is about the authority of the body. Some people call that the authority of the believer. But it's about our identity. It's about who we are. I mean, Peter says we're a chosen generation. We're a chosen people. We're different from the rest of the human race. We're not the same. And we might look the same, but we're not the same. Hopefully we don't act the same all the time anyway. But Jesus gave authority even to his disciples before that because he had the authority and he had authority to give it to whoever he pleased. So what he did is he called it Matthew 10, verse 1. He called the 12 disciples together, and he gave them authority over all over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal every disease and every affliction. Okay? Luke 10, verse 1 and 2 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72. I think that's kind of something about how the group grew. You know, it's like what happened when I got born again, and we didn't know anything, but the Lord gave us this authority, and we didn't realize we had authority until we started exercising it. But then our group grew, and we just took the people that were new, and we just showed them what we were doing, and they did it. And then they brought in some. You know, I think that's kind of what happened here, maybe. Maybe I'm wrong. But he sent out 72. He sent them out. He sent them out ahead of him, two by two. Okay, two groups of two, out of ahead of him, into every town and place where he himself was going to go. Okay, so they're setting they're going to lay the foundation for him to come. They're going to prepare the area. Okay, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So he's talking about them, really. But then in verse 9, he says, when you go, he says, I want you to heal. Every time you go into, heal the sick that are in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. Now that's preparing people for him to come. He sent them ahead to cast out the devils and to heal every manner of sickness and affliction. Well, what was he going to do when he came? Well, he's going to do more of the same, but he was going to bring the message of he's come to set them free. He's come to be their deliverer. So forth. I'm kind of going through this fast because I always take too long, and I don't want to take too long. I got a timer going too. Anyway, so Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I always read out of the ESV unless I say something different. I think I do anyway. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth. This is a great commission. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's a whole teaching right there, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. What did he command them to do? Go cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Observe that. Go do that. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, it's... He delegated the authority. The authority he gave, it wasn't conditional. In other words, it wasn't a diminished authority. He gave authority. Now you understand, he's the head and we're the body. The body's not to act apart from what the head directs. But the head can't do anything unless the body's going to cooperate with it and carry out the desires of the body, of the head. So, but Jesus, he handed this authority to us. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Go therefore and make disciples. You know, and what the church has done is they've made that made evangelism, called it evangelism, which it's not, and they said go out and bring people into the kingdom. You know, let's try to bring as many people to heaven as we can. And so but that's not what he called us to do. I mean, that's going to happen. That's a byproduct. That is what he wants to do. He wants to expand the kingdom, expand the outreach, expand the kingdom. But in doing that, he's called us to walk in dominion in the earth. His resurrection power going forth. See, the Holy Spirit's in here and he wants out. You understand? He wants out. See, he said, this spirit that I'm going to put in you, it's like a well of water rising up, welling up in you. It's to be a river. I don't know if you've ever seen a stagnant pond where there's nothing going in and there's nothing going out and it just basically dies. It can just die. I mean, the Dead Sea, nothing's alive in it. There's no animal, no fish in there, no plant life in it. It's just dead. You know what? And I think what happened is that's a picture to me of how most Christians are, is that they stop being a river. They stopped allowing the river to flow, but the Holy Ghost wants out. And the more he flows out, the more flows in. I mean, the more you open yourself up to divine appointments throughout the day or throughout the week, the more you experience of that, and the more he flows, and he'll show you more. He'll reveal more. He'll enlarge your capacity to receive revelation. I see Ernestine's put that scripture right in there, John 7:38. But that's where it is. And but you know, he has sent us out to do what John said in 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, I'm just going to read the second part of this verse. Verse 8 says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. In other words, I think the King James says, the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Well then, so if that's why he, the head, came, what should we, the body, be doing? Destroying the works of the devil. Isn't that right? That's his will, that we be destroying the works of the devil. I got so upset with myself, and I shared this Monday night group, and I've been talking to Kathy about stuff, and my family. I speak to them every Sunday afternoon at 2:00 on Zoom and teach them and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I got upset with myself for having cataract surgery. I mean, when they say, oh, you got to have oh, this is bad, you know, you got to have cataract surgery. And I fell right into it, had the surgery, paid a lot more extra dollars, went in debt for it, shouldn't have. I hate debt, don't have any except for the house. And then it didn't work, thousands of dollars later, and now there's another problem with this eye, and I'm going, you know what? I fell into that trap. I should have stood in faith. I should have stood in faith. And then my number three daughter, I got six kids. My number three daughter said, well, Dad, you still can't stand in faith. You know, you've been teaching us, you know, that nothing's impossible, that he does creative miracles. You can still believe. Yes, you're right, honey. So the child's teaching the dad. But that's what he's called us to. He's called us to destroy the works of the enemy. He's called us to take some chances. I mean, sometimes you just got to risk everything on the word. And not to prove your faith, but to put your trust in him. I don't want to get anybody thinking that they need to do something to prove their faith. Either you believe or you don't believe. I mean, there's a lot of things I still want to believe for better than I believe. There's some things that I have no problem with. I mean, I don't have any problem casting out demons. I don't have any problem with things like that. Weather, you know. I don't have any problem with the weather. And so, but there's some things that are much seem simpler, but I haven't conquered yet. I'm still working on. But he's called us to carry out his will in the earth and make him known. Make him known. That people would actually know him. You know, just really know him. Not about him. Not just what he wants them to do, but they'd be able to do it out of a position of intimacy with him. So, you know, I never read anywhere in the Word where Jesus blessed a storm. Never blessed a hurricane. Never blessed a tornado. Never blessed a forest fire, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, so many instances where he stopped a storm. Or, you know, and then you know, he's asleep on a pillow in a boat, and he says, we're going to the other side. What do you think his will is? We're going to the other side. So he falls asleep. Well, the enemy stirs up a storm. And they're all in the boat, and water's filling in the boat. Jesus is sound asleep. I mean, you got to think about it. They're sitting over here resting all the time. He's preaching all day long. I've done that. I've been in countries where I preached all day, taught and preached 7-8 hours straight. And you're tired after that, and you need some rest. So Jesus, you know, he's fully man and fully God. So he's tired. You know, he'd been ministering, I mean, for 3 days he was ministering to this crowd out in the wilderness, you know, and then he fed them, you know, two loaves and five fish or something like that. And he, you know, he fed the whole crowd. They had 12 baskets full left over. Now, we're going over to the other side, getting the boat, and I'm taking a nap. Well, the boat starts filling up because the enemy, okay, he's asleep. I don't believe they have any faith, so I'm going to stir up this storm. And they're all going to sleep. I mean, they're all, you know, frantic. They're so fearful, and they're terrified. And they wake him up. This is what they say. Master, don't you care that we perish? I mean, is that something? That's quite a statement to say to the Savior of the world. I mean, they woke him up to save them. That's what they woke him up to do. Save us. And he had been teaching them all along that he wanted them to do it. They've been casting out devils. They've been healing the sick. And they were amazed at you know, that all this authority they've been walking, they were actually amazed at it themselves. And Jesus wakes up and he just speaks to the wind. He just speaks to it. Yes, be still. He's not shouting, I rebuke you. No, none of that. He's just, no, be still. That's enough. That's all you got to do. Any demon, you don't need to shout, and you know the devil's not scared of your volume or your emotions. He's concerned if you believe, if he knows that you believe the word. If you know who you are, he's scared. And he'll know it. And he might test it, but he'll find out. He's done that with me, and he's done that with Kathy. And Kathy, you need a hand with that? Anyway, so he says to the storm, be still. And then he turns to them and says, why is it that you have no faith? I gave you the authority. Why were you concerned about this little thing when you've been casting out devils? The devil's the one that did all this stuff, stirred up all this. Just because it looks scary doesn't mean it's scary. And so, you know, he's trying to demonstrate to them. He's trying to teach them that. And, you know, he gets on them, you know. But, you know, his will is that we heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the leper. And you know, I'll talk to some people that have gotten discouraged in ministry. I'm just not sure what the Lord wants me to do. You know, I thought he wanted me to pastor, and I pastored for a while, but that didn't seem to be it. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I'm supposed to do this and be a missionary, but that didn't really fit. And you okay, darling? And so I say, well, you know, what is it that you sense that you want to do? And they'll say that what they want to do. Well, then do that. But while you're doing it, you know, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the leper. And they said, no, you know, I'm trying to figure out should I get married or not? Well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to be married. Well, go get married, but when you do, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. That's his will. We're to advance his kingdom. And we're not going to be doing it. You know, a lot of people are like, okay, we're going to have a fish fry. Or we're going to have a food pantry. I'm not saying those are bad things, but that's what the world can do. So we're going to do things that the world can't do. Why? Because we have his life living on the inside of us to give away. We don't know what we're doing. We just need to, Peter and John going to the temple. Now he's filled with the Holy Ghost. He's cleared up. A whole lot of stuff got cleared up in his heart and his mind. Okay. He didn't know much. But the beggar says, he's begging, you know, and he says, well, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I don't have any money to give you, but I got something better than money. I mean, I've got it and I'm willing to give it to you. What is it? He's going to release the life of Christ right into that man's body. And he just jumped up and took off. He was healed. He healed that man. And, you know, people say, well, you know, yeah, Jesus had all this authority and you know, but I mean, I don't see that. I don't see where nobody's teaching that. Yes, they are. You got to listen to the right people. But, you know, nobody's setting an example for that. Well, you know what? I didn't have anybody set an example. None of our group did. We were just dumb enough to believe what the word said, I guess, and not argue with it. Not try to figure out how that didn't work. I mean, I guess from what we came from, you'd have to know where we came from. But the hell we came from, any of this was wild and new and was wonderful. And we didn't need somebody to teach us and show us. We saw it in the Word, and we had met with Jesus. And let's go do this. And I believe the Lord's going to arrange some circumstances, and I'm asking you, Father, to do that. Arrange circumstances for everyone that hears this, now or later, for them to have an opportunity for a divine appointment that they will go, okay, Lord, and they can say to you, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? And I tell you what, I've done that hundreds of times. Things come up, I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know what your word says, but what do you want me to do? And he'll drop a scripture in my heart, or so I want you to go do this. And you know, you don't have to do everything. But that's what he's called us to do. He's called us to walk in resurrection power. Because the power of the resurrection resides on the inside of us. It's on the inside of us, okay? It's not something that's going to happen. It's already in us. But what we have to do is discover as much as we can, as quickly as we can. And, you know, you can do what I'm doing. What I'm trying to be better at. And I'm going to do it by engaging myself in more ministry. But go back to Romans 12, verse 1. You know, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves, present your bodies, present your whole being as a living sacrifice. Okay? Present your whole being as a living sacrifice. Holy, you know, I'm going to have to look at it, make sure I don't mess it up, because I'm telling you, it's powerful. This is the most important thing. Where we got to go. Present you, by the mercy of God, present your entire being as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, your reasonable worship. This is just 101. Abandon everything else. Okay? Present yourselves to Him as a living sacrifice, spirit, soul, and body. Future, careers, whatever you think you've accomplished, lay it all down and say, Lord, here I am. And then do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of my mind. So I'm preaching to me because I need to hear this message. Because things are not going on the way they should be going on here for us. And so I'm not even going to blame the devil. I surely wouldn't blame God. But why should I blame the enemy for something I have authority over? And I had to be careful not to beat myself up too much because the Lord gets on me about that. But you see, it's all about allowing ourselves to be transformed by truth. Being transformed by His Word. By the renewing of our mind. Renewing of our mind so that, I'm telling you, it takes such a small amount of faith just to release His power. I've seen it. I can't even tell you how many times. People get new organs. I've seen people that are supposed to die tonight get a brand new organ, and I didn't feel a thing. I just said, hey, the Lord said, speak brand new this in you. There you go. And I just did what he revealed to me and showed me, and I believed it could happen because He said He was going to do it. I mean, if He tells you to go pray for somebody, well, first, He didn't ever tell you to go pray for the sick. He tells you to go heal the sick. But if He says, go, you know, see if they'll let you pray for them. See if they will let you. And if they'll let you, see if they'll let you touch them, put your hand on them. And if they will, heal them. It ain't you. That's the problem. People get all bent out of shape, but you know I'm so shy. Well, die to that. How about that? Take it to the cross. Take shy to the cross and hang it on the cross and leave it there. Okay? Because that's the fear of man. And that's sin. Okay? Take all that stuff and get over yourself. And just step out there. So what? Well, what if nothing happens? Well, I mean, already nothing's happening. And here's the thing, and I get on myself, I'm preaching myself. You know, I wrote the scripture down here, Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Here's the evidence of believing. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Well, you know, we call ourselves believers, but I don't know if we understand what the definition of a believer is. We call ourselves a disciple, but aren't we dying to ourselves? Are we presenting our entire beings to Him as a living sacrifice for Him to transform and renew our mind in the truth of who we are and who He is and who He is inside of us and how much He wants to have communion all the time? All the time. I read this scripture up here in Matthew 28, something the Lord's been showing me. I may speak on this sometime. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, the Lord had been speaking to me at some point about communion. I don't mean taking communion. I mean communion, having intimacy with and communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit and fellowship with the Father and fellowship with Jesus. I mean being baptized in the entire nature of Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost. Okay, being immersed in them. I saw this. So look, anyway, scripture doesn't mean just one thing. I saw a pastor the other day wrote something, and I'm going to get a hold of him, but he put it out on Facebook. He says, I've been trying to, you know, he's got a growing church, and it's big now. I was in Caris Bible College, Colorado with him, and he says, you know, I just finally got the meaning of this scripture. I'm so glad I can, you know, check that off. That's one thing. Please, you got the beginning. Because he's continually unfolding his scripture. Don't think that a scripture only means one thing. You limit him and you limit you. So what we want to do is we want to present ourselves to him and say, Lord, I don't know how to get from here to there, but I'm submitting myself to you and yielding myself to you, and help me to do that every day and throughout the day. Lord, just fill me afresh and anew. Lord, fresh revelations of you as I make room for you. And just see what he will do. I think I'm going to stop right there. I don't know how long I've gone, Pastor Ernestine, but I think I'll stop right there and see if anybody's got any questions, or if I've been totally confusing.
Will you pray, Robert, before I stop the recording, please?
Oh, I thought you did. I'll just play with you. Thank you, Papa. Lord, you're so good. I need to preach this to myself every day, Lord. I know you have called us to walk in dominion. I know you've called us to walk in freedom. Lord, and we can pray for one another that we ourselves will be healed. Lord, you've called us to be a light on a hill. Everywhere we go, we are the light. We have the revelation of Christ Jesus in us at the grocery store, the beauty parlor, the nail salon, the doctor's office, everywhere we go. And Lord, we need to spread the good news of you, how you came to deliver and set free, to heal, to deliver, Lord, and to raise the dead, Lord, as you raised us into newness of life. And I just pray, Lord, that by your Spirit that you would speak these things right into the hearts of your people. Lord, that you would rehearse that with them, that you would bring it up into their spirit when they quiet their hearts before you, when they come to look at your word, and that you would just open things up. Please reveal to them more than I've been able to speak, more than I understand, more than I can show. Lord, and help me to walk in the things that you've called us to. Lord, we thank you. We're blessed. We thank you, Lord. We've been delivered from the curse, and we can stand against all these things. Lord, I cancel out every assignment against all your people right here. Lord, if you give me authority to do that right now, right here, cancel out every assignment against them. Two or three of you just came up to in my mind here. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We're just going to give you glory and give you honor. Thank you, Lord. Amen.